Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed souls, we're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim. You're now tuned into the higher inner frequency of Soul Class 376, Heart to Heart, Jerusalem, and this blessed planet, Part 1. And let's just start off with a little prayer coming from the Psalms 122 from the Sweet Singer of Israel. 122 verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you have peace. And joining me live right now is international human rights activist Rabbi Eliezer Goldstock and director of Heart to Heart, an organization which has not only dedicated itself for over the past, I think it's 23 or 24 years, empowering unique human beings and their families deal with the rest of us so-called normal people. The good news is, blessed souls, is Rabbi Goldstock is now living in the holy city of Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, the heart of the universe, pumping out constantly 24/7 revelations, which if we fine-tune our human intellect by configuring towards our divine image, we will not be surprised to learn and love to learn more about how Hashem, Creator, is truly running this blessed show called Existence for the entire human family experience. And I'd like to remind you, blessed souls, that you can learn more about Rabbi Goldstock's heroic efforts along with his Ashes Chala's wife of Eller, Chana, who is the administrator of Heart to Heart, by going to hearttoheartamerican.org. We also want to reflect briefly on what today, being July 30th on the solar calendar date, is now our fourth anniversary via our humble efforts here on Soul Class via the blessed Blog Talk Radio Network. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. Joining me live right now from the holy city of Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, Rabbi Eliezer Goldstock. Good morning, Rabbi. Or good afternoon, where you are.
Ashrei Yoshvei Ve'secha Od Yehaleluch HaSeloch. I want to tell you, happy are those who sit in Hashem's house and daven. And we are happy to be in Yerushalayim. Yes, we've relocated. It's true. And I want to tell you, we are prepared for pretty much anything now. I have a gas mask. We have a place to hide when the sirens go off. And I must admit, it's pretty frightening for the children. Anybody who thinks it's not a serious thing. It's very traumatic. 25,000 rockets. Can you imagine? And Leah and Hora, we have a God that watches over us. 25,000 rockets, nothing major. Thank God.
You said 25,000? We've heard like over 2,000. You're saying that the amount of rockets is 10 times what the media is portraying?
Over the time since this whole thing started, I'm going back to the beginning of this maybe 15 years ago, you know, the whole time. But the point is, who would put up with 2,000 rockets? Who would put up with two rockets? It's just astonishing to me that we have had to endure this over the past, so many years. I've only been here, we've only been here for 3 years permanently. I've been here just for the past 6 months. And I want to tell you, it's a real eye-opener. Speaking with the soldiers, I had a soldier that we were visiting with two Shabbos ago. And it turns out that his bris was in my living room.
Wow.
20 years ago, a month after my son Mendy's bris was in my living room.
Wow.
And his name is also Mendy, Menachem Mendel.
Wow.
This Menachem Mendel is 6 foot, and he's in the Air Force. And my Mendy is not even 5 feet, but he's in the IDF. He's already serving in the Army, and he's been quite a credit to the Israeli Army. And hopefully we can talk about that for just a moment. He has a very interesting job. He has a top secret security clearance.
Wow.
Mendy is, and for most of your listeners who don't know, has Down syndrome. He has delayed speech and, certain delays in his behaviors and activities, but he's very sharp. So he wound up in the Israeli Army, and what did they assign him with? They assigned him with the task of operating some equipment and machinery that destroys top-secret security documents.
Wow.
And what is the genius behind all of this? Well, the great chokhmah is that the Israeli Army saw an opportunity to provide someone with a top-secret security clearance doing top-secret security work, and he'll never tell anybody.
Right.
Your secret is safe with him. Not that he wants to, but now he's asking for a gun. So I'm getting a little nervous with him. But anyhow, all right. So then, quickly, just as an aside, I happen to notice in this week's parsha, we're still in Ves Hanan, right?
I mean, we're in Devorim.
Devorim, yeah. Parsha's Devorim, because it's safer Devorim.
The book of Deuteronomy.
Rashi stresses that the Jewish people had trusted in Hashem. Had they trusted in Hashem, nobody would have contested the Jewish people's right to the land of Israel.
Right.
So he says, likewise, the Rebbe brings out, likewise, in our times, when the Jewish people will trust in Hashem, that the land of Israel belongs unequivocally to the Jewish people and are willing to declare this openly to the nations of the world, then no one will contest the matter. You will not need to go to war. In fact,
amen,
even weapons will prove unnecessary. This is Rashi talking about this week's Parsha, where he's talking about the rebuke of the appointment of the anointment of the judges. And I want to tell you, this is there are so many things in this week's Parsha talking about the lack of the need for war. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about misunderstanding things, I'm reminded of a story that I heard a while back, that every evening this Jew would walk into a bar, and he ordered two drinks, two Jack Daniels, made a big L'chaim, two large glasses, drink one, drank the second one, and he walked out. One night, the bartender asked him, why do you only order Jack Daniels? There's so many other drinks here available to you, on the wall here. And you only order two drinks. And then you walk out, what's going on? So he explains to him, listen, when I was in Vietnam, he said I had a very good friend of mine, and every night after we came back safe from the field, we'd sit down and made a l'chaim together. And as would happen, he was killed. And I swore to myself that I was going to make a l'chaim, make a drink, one for him and one for me every night to remember him. So that silenced the bartender, and he said, and the drink that we used to drink, he told him, was a Jack Daniels. So the bartender was kind of stumped, like, what am I going to do? Suggest you drink another drink. You're remembering your friend's memory by drinking, one drink for you and one drink for him. Okay. And you drink every night. Good. So, and that ended the question. And every night this guy came in for 30 years. This fellow walked into the bar and drank two drinks, paid for the drinks, and walked out. One night, 30 years later, he walks into the bar and he sits down and he says to the bartender, give me one Jack Daniels. Bartender pours him the drink, drinks it, starts to leave. The bartender says, excuse me, can I ask you a question? He said, for 30 years, I understood you were drinking a l'chaim with your friend. You made a special drink, a toast to his memory over the course of 30 years. All of a sudden, tonight, after all this time, you're ordering two drinks. Now you're only ordering one drink. Can you explain to me what's going on? He said, sure. He said, last night I gave up drinking.
But he had to
continue on the tradition of drinking for his friend. You understand? That's the way we are. I mean, that's the nature of who we are. We remember our commitments to people, and the fact that we are in a situation whereby we're fighting for our lives here, but we remember that these young boys who are dying don't have to continue dying. And we have to finish this. We have to finish this once and for all. And we have to not be afraid of what the world thinks. Syria, look at Iraq, look at Iran, look what's going on in those countries. How many people are being slaughtered viciously without concern for any humanity of any kind.
True.
And the world is worried that we are targeting hospitals whereby the terrorists are firing from these locations. It is just absolutely appalling to me that there is even a concern or a hashish of any kind on our part to be concerned with what the world thinks. The world does not like us. Whether we kill civilians, whether we kill military, whether as long as we're victorious, they will hate us.
True.
As long as we are chas v'shalom not victorious, they'll still hate us. So
Eliezer,
we have to
go.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want you to continue, but I just want you to know we have 45 minutes left, and we actually have Dennis Ryan, who is our Rambam activist, and I'm sure he might want to ask you some questions. Also, we have a surprise caller from Israel, aside from yourself. So I'd like to ask the surprise caller from Israel to identify himself, herself, and where they're calling from. And
is this initials DW?
I don't have the initials. Caller from Israel, can you identify yourself?
Yes, it's David Weissman.
Nechamadina
Weissman. Oh, it is DW.
Okay,
David.
Very good. Okay, David, hold on, please. And Dennis, if you'd like to give salutations to the rabbi, and then Eliezer, you can continue, and then if you want to ask David Weissman, maybe Eliezer, you'll tell us something. You seem to know David. I don't know him yet. Dennis,
yes,
you'd like to...
You know David. Boker Tov, everybody, and I'm just listening today.
Okay. So Eliezer, please continue. If you want to dialogue with David, I'm listening. I'm just going to be like a salt and pepper, a condiment today. I prefer everyone here.
David, Huh? David, can you imagine that Don doesn't remember you? You were
a guest on our program.
You were a guest on our program when I was with Don over a year or so ago with your wife, and right after you had exited the Army, and the United States Army, that is, and have since moved to Israel, made Aliyah, and you're living in beautiful downtown Ashkelon.
Oh, wow, Ashkelon. David, okay, so let me just butt in. David, I'm sorry, I forgot.
And the reason I had David call is because he has been a victim of this terror like nobody I know.
Wow. Well, good afternoon, David. It's a pleasure to have
you on. Good afternoon, Rabbi. How are you?
Good. Well, Rabbi Goldsack, sir, Rabbi, I'm just a Torah activist. I just want you to know, David, that I don't have Down syndrome. I have Don syndrome. So that's why I forgot. So please forgive me. I am inexplicably tied to my own psyche to the exclusion of other people telling me who I am. And I guess I'm kind of like I have my own unique form of Asperger's or autism. So you'll please forgive me for that one.
Sure, will do.
So, David, maybe, Eliezer, maybe you want to interview David, and I'll listen in, and, again, I'll be like a condiment, adding some spice
because David, you have had more rockets lobbed at you probably than anybody I know. How many times, say, in the past 2.5 weeks, have you had to hit the shelter with your family and, you know, with your wife and your kids? And, by the way, David has a few children who have some real challenges in ambulation and their ability to get around. So it's not just a simple running to a shelter. But tell us a little bit about what's been happening there in Ashkelon.
Well, since it started, when it was really a lot, we had about from 10 to 6 rockets per day, and then through the weeks or so, it kind of shortened a little bit, so about maybe 3 to 5, and it happened any time throughout the day. It happened in the morning, it happened in the afternoon, it also happened at nighttime. And in fact, we actually sleep in our sleep room, so we can actually sleep through the night, so we don't have to wake up everybody when you hear the siren.
Wow. David, can I ask you a question? Sounds like hello. Now, I just want to let you gentlemen know, and the blessed listeners out there know, that I was in Israel in 1990-91 when the first Gulf War took place, when Saddam Hussein, Yiloch Shmo, gave orders to shoot 39 Scud missiles into the land of Israel. And I can just tell you the shudder that one feels in one's heart when one hears an air raid siren. In fact, just a little comical note, the first night that we heard the air raid siren, I was already went to sleep, and my newlywed wife Sima had told me azaka azaka. So to me, it sounded like the neighborhood fire alarm, that there must have been a fire in the neighborhood. So what happened was, when she realized she couldn't explain it to me in Hebrew, she told me, just screamed out, "Don, get up! The war is coming!" And then we evacuated to one of our neighbors' apartments, where they had what is known as a cheder atum, which, because the concern was that Saddam Hussein was throwing chemical weaponry into the land of Israel. As it turned out, no Scuds fell near to Sfas in the north of Israel, in the Galilee. But I can just tell you, listeners, when you hear an air raid siren and you know it's not a fire alarm, those are moments where you have to put total faith in Hashem and God. So, David, let me ask you this. First of all, how are your children during this time of crisis? And are there people in Ashkelon, counselors, who can help families with children to deal with this crisis?
My children are hanging in there, taking it day by day, and trying to manage it. We explain to them what's going on, and luckily with me being in the Army, they have an understanding of what happens and what we need to do. And they do have services and counseling and different things like that here. It's been very helpful, actually.
What is the range of the ages of your children?
My oldest one is 9, will be 10 next month, and my youngest one is 6.
Beautiful.
And my middle one is 8.
Okay. I've added my condiment verbal spicing. Eliezer, you want to take over from here.
Yeah, so how do you how have you been able to calm the children down, you know, in the course of, you know, I mean, those sirens, when they go off, I have to tell you, they scare the bejabbers out of everybody, and everyone runs for shelter wherever they are, as I mentioned before. But it's the tragedy is the lingering angst and anxiety on the part of the children is so difficult to explain away. I know we as adults think that we've done a good job of it, but then out of nowhere, suddenly one of the kids will say, you know, oh, what about the rockets? Out of nowhere, my kids, for example, and children that we're working with here, just for without any forewarning of any kind, without any discussion, no connective, nothing connecting to that discussion, I guess, all of a sudden the children will suddenly just bring that subject up. So how have you been able to allay the fears of your children and put that as best you can to rest with
we mostly do as far as when that happens, we tell them how safe our safe room is, how it protects, and also make they know that Hashem protects them as well. We also have a lot of activities and books and a lot of things to do while they're in the safe room to keep their mind off what's going on out there right now, when it happens. So we keep them occupied, and that's normally the best thing to do, so they're distracted.
Having some positive activities to participate in while you're locked in a safe room or a shelter of some kind is very important. So I was recently visiting, for example, a family in Tzfat, whom I was with a number of years ago when the Lebanon War was going on. And during that time, the sirens went off, and we wound up going into their safe room. And the kids were so upset, they remember that I brought a guitar in there with me, and I started singing some Hasidic songs, and they're now all 5, 7, 5, 6 years older than they were then. But each one of them, some of them are married, and like I said, some are in the military, and each one of them came over to me and said, "Well, we remember when you came in the safe room and you sang, you played the guitar for us." I must tell you that it helped calm me down a lot too at that time, because in that war that we had just arrived and we were only there for a couple weeks, we were bringing some supplies and things for the Golani boys that were in the training unit, and some who were in the field needed certain equipment that they couldn't get. Believe it or not, the Israeli army, as well equipped as they are, oftentimes over the years have not had a sufficient supply of certain pieces of equipment. For example, high-tech, believe it or not, scopes that we were able to mount on top of a sniper rifle. They're very expensive, so we raised money and brought 3 of them with us. They were very happy to have those. We brought also black T-shirts, which at that time they had run out of in Israel. Here in Israel now, it's not the same problem. The people have responded by forcing the government to give the troops in the field and the soldiers, the chayalim, what they need in order to properly handle the task at hand, which is to save Israel from this barbaric barrage of the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air. Wrong country. right.
Elias, can I ask you a question? You know, you live in Yerushalayim. How close are you to East Jerusalem, where there was some pretty intense protesting, as I understand, in the last several days? And what's the effect it's having on the entire city at this point?
Well, I'll tell you, it's an amazing thing. When the closer you get to that area, of course, the more cautious you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
But believe it or not, just 5 or 6 blocks away from there, when you're in the heart of Yerushalayim, as you go up to Rehov Yaffa and, say, Ben Yehuda, the people are sitting out in the outdoor cafes. In the evenings, life goes on as usual. I must tell you that one of the most frightening scenarios, potential scenarios, that came about as a result of all of this was the fact that they had thousands of terrorists that were prepared to come in through the tunnels into Eretz Yisrael in general on Rosh Hashanah,
right,
to make a surprise attack. Now, everybody's heard about that, but nobody has discussed, I haven't seen it discussed, but what saved our lives is that the 3 boys that were killed, that were taken, kidnapped, and that were killed, murdered by these mamzerim, saved Eretz Yisrael. Because had they not been taken and murdered, kidnapped and murdered by the Ayal, Gilad, and Naphtali, had not
That's
been
right.
taken and murdered, we would not have come to the point where we would have found out about this surprise attack, and that could have been, Chas V'Shalom, Lo Aleinu, a real korban. And the
mm-hmm.
fact that we found all of these tunnels, or the ones that we found, there are still plenty more to find, to locate. And every time, believe me, the only reason that the Hamas is asking for any kind of a timeout or a ceasefire is merely to reestablish their situation, reform, and reattack, because they have stated openly that their objective is to destroy all Jews everywhere and to destroy Israel. That's Chas V'Shalom. That's their objective. And the world is acting like, you know, they're just... they're these poor victims that are being, put upon by the Israelis. If that was the case, they could have had their own country. They could have had. Why didn't they use all of this money and funding to build an infrastructure and develop a society that's not a group of refugees? I mean, this is
True.
A refugee society we're looking at, and it has been perpetuated as a refugee society by the United Nations, which, by the way, in Israel, they're known as UN, the UN. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
UN. It's such an apropos, Rosh Hashanah, the acronym for the United Nations. The UN, yeah. They're the UN this and the UN that. And they have been... Not only have they implemented, but they've aided in this process, and they are aware of all of the activities that are going on, terrorist activities, nefarious terrorist activities that have taken place over the years, and they are participating in this openly. It's disgusting. And the fact that the world has stood up, even if it's only 50%, 10%, 90%, I don't care. We have a God who's watching over us, and
mm-hmm.
we're doing what we're supposed to do, which is take care of Eretz Yisrael and take care of our citizens. And that's our job, and that's what we have to be here for. And we have
True.
To be here for the Jewish people. Even
True.
Though we've built hospitals now because they can't accommodate their own people that they're putting in harm's way, the Hamas, so
right.
Israel has now built a hospital on the border of Gaza. And all of those people who need or are seeking medical attention, including giving birth and including injuries and including high fever, can come to that hospital and be treated for free.
Wow. This we're not hearing in the West.
What a crazy bunch of Jews we are.
Well, Eliza, I'd like to make a short commentary. We are definitely in the midst of the clash of civilizations or the clash of consciousness because, you know, I have right in front of me, I put it on my Facebook page and some people criticized me, some people said it was a good idea. I got access to the Covenant of the Islamic Resistant Movement, which was drafted and written out in August 18th of 1988. And one of the ways they described, they actually mentioned the word Hamas, saying it means strength and bravery, according to Al-Mu'ajam Al-Wasit, I hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly, but we know that everything has its root in the Lashon HaKodesh, the Holy Tongue, and Hamas, in the original language of the creation, which Hashem created, Hamas means violence, it means, also it's connected to the idea of Sinas Chinam, unmitigated hatred, and it also is connected to thievery. So they are promoting the other, they are brave, but we know in the root of what they are connected to is something the opposite of bravery and the opposite of peace. And this is the point I want to bring out, Elias. And like, you know, I'm going to ask you to rack your brains on this one. You know, there is a teaching where it says, Esav Sonei Yaakov, Esau hates Israel, which is alluding to those nations which hate us. But at the same time, too, Rambam writes very clearly in his Shmona Prokim, the eight prefatory chapters to his elucidations on the Perkei Avot, the Path of Our Fathers, that every human being is given Bechira Chafis, free choice. Now, Israel, we have not actualized all our potentials as a Torah observant nation, which is really the only context which we can look in this situation, or we're going to ultimately have a peace process. Once we become political Jews, or we become, sycophants to other forces, or vassal bending down individuals to higher governmental powers, there seems to be just always more bloodshed, more bloodshed, more bloodshed. So, Eliezer, how can we explain to people that, first of all, Jewish people need to actualize their potential as Torah-observant Jews? And number two, how the people of the mindset of Hamas, whether they know it or not, do have the ability, and the nations of the world do have the ability to break out of their deterministic type of consciousness, which means they just keep on hating this, where they can actually realize that there is a plan for them through the seven Noahide commandments, and between the 613 of Israel and the seven commandments for the nations of the world, we can actually make this place what it's supposed to be, a fitting dwelling place, before, as much as we can, before the coming of the Mashiach, the Messiah, and leading into the actualization of universal redemption.
Okay, first of all, David, are you still there?
Yes, Rabbi.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to... I hope you can hang around for 1 second. Let me answer this question, and then we'll... Okay, so, if I can. I'm always reminded that Avraham Avinu had two sons that we know of, that are mentioned specifically, and that was Yitzchak Avinu and Yishmael. Yitzchak had two sons that we know of that we always speak about, which was Yaakov and Esau, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yaakov had the Shvatim, his 12 sons.
Right.
Now, his concern, Yaakov's big concern, was that he was going to have to deal with for lack of a better word, the curse of having that one of those types of children amongst his. And he was reassured by his sons, all of them, who said to him, his name Yaakov, by the way, was also Yisrael. And what did they say to him? To assure him that indeed there not a one amongst them was an Esav or a Yishmael. They said to him, Shema Yisrael, listen, Father, our Father Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Our God is one God. Hashem, our God, Hashem Elokeinu, our God, is Echad, Hashem Echad, is one God. In other words, we're of one mind, one heart, we're one people. And how did Yaakov respond to that? Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusai Le'olam Va'ed. And he's blessing, he's saying, Baruch Shem, blessed is this great and magnificent name that will live forever and ever. And we say that, that's not in the Torah, that response. That was what Yaakov said.
Mm-hmm.
So we say that quietly after we say Shema Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
So the Shema Yisrael has a double meaning. It means listen Israel, meaning the people of Israel who are named after Yaakov Avinu, who was called Yisrael. And we're saying, Shema Yisrael, listen Israel. Listen all the people of Israel, but listen Father, our Father, Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So all we have to do is believe in God. And I want to say one more thing was just negea to this, that last thing that you threw in about Hamas and other people and so forth. The Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I'm going to say something that the Rebbe never said, but okay, I'm not the Rebbe, so the Rebbe never said the word Ramallah, because in the name of that city, he called it Ramlah, which is a different city altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rebbe said, never used the word Ramallah when he was talking in a context about the war or so forth, because in the word Ramallah is the word Allah.
Right.
And the Rambam clearly states that this is a Gutz Namen, a Shem Hashem, that Allah refers to the same God that you and I daven to.
That's right.
And what has happened is the Islamic faith, or the Muslims that follow the Islamic faith, have pirated this name. And when they say this name, they're saying it in vain, because it's not a private God. It's the same God as, you know, when I tell you something, the other night I heard something, I don't know why it came through so clear to me for the first time, but we were saying at the Kaisel, there was somebody who was one of the Chazanim, a Svarti Chazan, was saying, Hashem Hu Ha Elokim. Hashem, Hu Ha Elokim, and then everybody, yeah, and he did it beautiful. I mean, I'm doing it, you know, like a yutz, but I mean, you understand what I'm saying. It was beautiful.
Right.
And then I heard in the back of my mind, Allahu Akbar, and I was thinking to myself, that's their same way of saying what we're saying.
Right.
We're talking about the same God. It's one God.
That's right.
An Arab is allowed to pour wine for you. And for most people, anybody who's listening who doesn't understand what I'm talking about, we're not allowed to drink wine that's poured for us by a non-Jew unless they pour it a certain way. It has to be poured backhand. In other words, we're worried that we want to make sure that everybody understands that we're drinking this wine. The wine we drink is kosher, it's sacred, and it has kedusha. And that's why we drink wine. We don't drink wine just to get drunk, although it's not a bad way to do it. But okay. Anyway, so... and during the 9 days, it's okay to talk about it, because, you know, you got to be able to fantasize about something, right? And by the way, I just want to, as an aside, I want to throw in one more thing. Anybody coming to Israel, now I may, and I think David will highly agree with me on this, the beer is the best in the world here. I don't know why they've kept this a secret, but Israel makes Maccabi beer and Gold Star beer. Not Gold Stock, Gold Star. But Gold Stock could be next, I don't know. Gold Star beer. And you can buy some great Dutch beer here. And I drink, what's that called, Carlsberg and Tuborg. Phenomenal beer here. On a hot day, an ice-cold beer is the only way to go. But if you like wine, let's get back to that discussion.
Excuse me, we have another caller calling in live from America. I'm just going to let them in, and they can identify themselves, and you can continue.
Sure.
Hold on, please. Caller, can you please identify yourself, where you're calling from?
Hello, I believe that you've got me, and this is Roger.
Oh, Roger Oberlin from Ohio. We have a real-life human farmer, businessman, believer in the Almighty. Eliezer, welcome. I'd like to just...
Roger, I also have a guest. I have a live guest here.
Yeah.
Hello, Eliezer.
Wait 1 second. Yeah.
Hello, David.
Hey.
Hello, Don.
How you doing, Roger? And we also have Dennis Ryan on the line, Roger.
And Dennis. Hey, I've talked to Dennis before.
Oh, we just lost...
I'm going to try and keep short if I can.
Yep.
And, I love the commitment story that Eliezer had talked about. That was wonderful. And going over the misunderstandings on the news that we have to put up with, it's pretty sick to see all these commentators on the news that are giving their little bits and pieces about what they think about what Israel's doing right now. And I'll tell you what, if I had one rocket fired at me, I'd be firing 10 back, and I'd say, go ahead, pound Gaza. And, you got to shut that stuff off.
True,
it's
I agree.
It's got to be shut down. You can't let those people keep firing rockets willy-nilly that land. Well, most of them land in the desert, sure, but, hey, they got millions of them, They just keep firing, and they don't even live up to their own ceasefires.
True.
But,
I just want to mention, Roger, for some reason we still have David Weissman on live from Ashkelon. We lost Dennis Ryan. We lost Rabbi Goldsack, or hopefully Rabbi Goldsack will
come back in.
I just want to comment that we have to understand, blessed souls, that the Rambam talks about Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, who lived over 800 years ago, that although theologically we do not agree with the Islamic faith, at the same time, too, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And therefore, the reason for this faith which came into the world was actually to prepare the world for the coming of the redemption with the Messiah, the Mashiach of Israel. Now, looks like we got Rabbi Goldstein back on the air. Eliezer, got you back on, right? So, Eliezer, I was just explaining to Roger that Rambam talks about that although we don't theologically hold by the Islamic faith, that's their choice, not ours, that Rambam said that they're also part of the process of bringing the universal redemption. But the way the Hamas outlook is actually fighting against this ruling of Rambam because they're violating any tenets of faith as I've seen a video where they actually talk about how they worship death. Well, the Israeli Zionist entity, which, by the way, Eliezer and I are not Zionists, that's a whole other story that Eliezer will probably want to explore in a future show, why people in the Lubavitch Chabad movement are not Zionists. We are Torah-observant Jews. Eliezer, what are you taking this? Rambam made space for the fact that the Muslims can, in fact, help with the rest of the nations and help Israel prepare the world for redemption instead of this blood-curdling cries of jihad that they make all the time.
Well, the Messianic era, whatever they call that, is to eliminate everybody that's not them.
Uh-huh.
And our version of that is to embrace everyone who is not us, to create a world unity, and to long for these days when we could have done more in the way of action. I have here with me a special guest that I would, and that the reason I got disconnected is because I pushed the wrong button in greeting her. But this is a young lady who has who is Down syndrome. She made Aliyah. She works she'll tell you what she does. But she just came back from camp, and mm-hmm. she's in a regular camp with a bunch of kids and adults, and she served on the staff there. Her name is Sarah Mushta Goldstock, Suri, as we all know her.
Right.
And I just thought it would be fun to have her talk to everybody and say hi. Say hi,
everyone.
Hi,
everyone.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Hi, sorry.
I'm good.
How are you?
It's fine. Baruch Hashem.
Can you tell us about your camp and your summer this year in the Holy Land?
The camp is amazing, and I love camp, and it's amazing. I have a lot of friends in camp, and it's amazing, and I hang it out with my friends, and we played, and we, like, have fun, and then we danced, and have a lot of stuff we would do. We do a lot of things, we eat, and, like, that kind of stuff.
And the Naharia, right?
Yeah.
What did you have right across the street from your camp? What was right across the street from your camp?
It's a beach.
That's right. An ocean.
The ocean, actually.
Yeah.
It's
a
beach, yeah.
Wow. And did you have any sirens go off while you were there?
Actually, yes. My siren is to be off. So after it's in bed, I hear the sirens be off, and I get up at that, run to the midwalk, and state it after the sirens is be off.
Sorry, can I ask you a question? How do you,
no.
When you hear the sirens go off, what are you feeling at that point in time?
Actually, it's just something like great. It's actually, I'm not scared at all.
Wow.
Because,
wow.
Like, give it, it's not scared, so I ran. And I can't breathe. It's still watching me, and it's great.
Can I ask you, how about the other women or young girls that are in the camp when they hear the siren? Are some getting scared? Are you trying to calm down the other campers? Can you tell us what goes on with the other young women or girls when they hear the sirens?
Actually, some of the people is scared, but some of them is quiet a little bit and give them the drink a little bit. It's not the bump part, but I don't know anything like that. And And sometimes we sing also inside of the midwalk, so we start to sing. Some people is crying and do that.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel, Suri, when they tell you can go back to your bunk or wherever you're living in the camping house? How does it feel to be able to return to normal life?
Normal life. I didn't go back to a bunk. After the sirens went off, so after that, it's checking the sirens to be off. So after the fact, the bunk, then feel happy to go to sleep again. So that's the thing. So and that's the problem right there. So yeah.
Thank you, Eliezer.
So
let me ask you.
They had a tough time getting to the midwalk. Fast enough, so they had to move them to a closer location.
Eliezer, I'd like to ask you a question. With Heart to Heart being based in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, right now, are families turning to you for advice how to deal with the current crisis in Jerusalem or in Israel in general?
We have had many questions and inquiries as to how to properly handle and deal with this. And I use Suri as my advisor. She knows how to deal with it, with the situation. primarily, we have been working with many families here, developing our, as I said earlier, we're working on developing our center here, and the Machon Shir of Azimra is now. We just finished all of the. We finished the legal work with the government. Now we're working on the legal work in terms of the financial arrangements, etc. So the people that are coming to us are coming to us because they're established, but they want to They want to be their children to be absorbed and fully integrated into the society as adults. And most of our work has been, like you said, providing advice and guidance in terms of dealing with the younger victims of terror here. But the older ones are really showing remarkable strength in that they are able to demonstrate that they are Dugmachaya, that they're able mm-hmm. to be an example for the younger people. And that's one of the things that we've used as a technique for helping everybody to overcome their fear and to allow everyone to fully integrate in a less fearful way and a more relaxed way of dealing with this. David can tell you clearly, that siren goes off, doesn't matter what your syndrome is, whether you're a typical, whether you're an atypical, whether you're a Downsy, whether you're an Upsy, whether you have Up syndrome or Down syndrome, you get scared. Right, sir?
That's right.
Yes, it is. It's just like a little bit of faith in me, but sometimes I'm going to be brave. So I want to be in mommy so badly, so I'm going to be so proud of myself. So I'm going to not get scary for me. So I'm going to be in mommy so bad. I want to be in the thing.
My daughter wants to serve in the Israeli army as well. You see that?
Wow.
Listen. I raised a bunch of animals. What can I do?
Roger, would you like
wow,
to ask
Wow, that was so beautiful.
Roger,
sorry.
Would you like to ask the rabbi any question, something that might be coming up in your mind from hearing this
sorry,
discussion?
Sorry, you're so brave. You're
yep.
Wonderful lady.
Thank you.
Roger is calling in from Ohio into the program. Roger, do you have any question for the rabbi about what he's involved in or any just about what's going on in Israel? Any question you might have for him?
Well, I've got input coming in. I've got friends from Ashkelon to Tel Aviv and Jordan River down to Jerusalem, so I've got input coming in.
Uh-huh.
So at least I know a little bit about what's going on, you know, from the source. So, you know, I'm one of the Americans that knows what's going on. So I'm one of those 3%ers that are standing with you there.
Amen. Eliezer, has the government of Israel...
Any percent that you get, but, you know... I'm going to tell you, as long as you're standing with us, you're standing with God, and that's the main thing. It's
Amen.
The office, the unity of our people in this country. By the way, I have to mention this, Don. This is an amazing thing. The labels here in Israel have all disappeared. You see someone on the street, you ask them how they are, Baruch Hashem. It doesn't matter whether he was before a Chilani, a Reformed Jew, a Conservative Jew, an Orthodox Jew. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
A Jew is a Jew, and everybody accepts the fact that we are all one. And, you know, when we said Shema Yisrael the other day, we said it with such an amazing kibbutz, such an amazing explosive to see that everybody participated, and everybody did it with such a depth of from the depths of our neshamas. You know, you could feel it. I really feel it.
Eliezer, we're running down to 6 minutes. I think it would be an injustice if I didn't encourage you to please explain to our blessed listening audience, whether live or the future archive version, how they can help strengthen the efforts of Heart to Heart in Jerusalem, and therefore serve as a living example for the entire world how we should empower unique individuals. How can they help you help other people?
We're still working with infants in America, so you know we haven't abandoned that side of the water either. But if you want to help us here, you can reach us by you can send a check to Heart at 383 Kingston Avenue. Number 232, Brooklyn, New York, 11213. Or you can send a check to Rehov Street, Yochanan Ben Zakkai, if you're going to send it here, you'll know how to do that. Yochanan ben Zakkai, 18 over 1, Jerusalem, 9318. Or you can reach my website.
Wait, Eliza, the last 10 seconds, I couldn't hear you clearly. Hello? The reception all of a sudden is
faded.
Yeah,
can you hear me better now?
Yeah. Please, I think it would be better if you want someone to send you a check.
Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Spell it out phonetically for them.
Yochanan, why? I guess I'd just do it in English, or you want it in Hebrew?
Yeah,
Yochanan, Yochanan, Ben, B-E-N, Zakkai, Z-A-K-A-I, number 18, and then you put a line, and then underneath it a 1, like a slash, 18 over 1, and then Jerusalem, 93186.
Okay, beautiful.
And if you want to send a donation via credit card, you can do it through hearttoheartamerican.org. That's AMERICAN.org, hearttoheartamerican.org. Or, as I said before, 383 Kingston Avenue, number 232, Brooklyn, New York, 11213. And I appreciate that. I just want to say, though, real quickly, that it's important for us to understand that, I'm just giving people the opportunity to do something. I don't know. Sir, thank you very much. You were great. She has to go. But without equivocation, I must say that that everything was created as a means to know Hashem. And every discovery that we've ever made and every one of our inventions was put here in the 6 days of creation in order that we utilize it for a godly purpose, and that includes our money. Money was not given to us. Everybody thinks that the money that they have belongs to them. It doesn't. And everyone thinks that I'm driving them crazy, asking them for money. I'm merely giving you an opportunity to do the right thing with the money that you have. The Rebbe explained that, this is one of the ways of doing a complete tshuva and bringing Mashiach. And if you really want to bring Mashiach and you really want to do a proper tshuva, the first thing is you have to work on yourself. And the second thing is you have to give something of yourself. And there's nothing more of yourself that you had to give your blood, sweat, and tears for than the money that you earn. And that's how you show Hashem that you are doing a proper tshuva. And when a person does a proper tshuva, we see that it brings a humility and a contrition to each one of us, and gives us an opportunity to return by arousing Hashem's compassion, and in so doing we bring out a certain humility by being able to give. When you stand there and say, he's not getting my money, he's not going to con me out of my money, well, then you're not ready for that level of tshuva, and I understand that. I'm not upset about it. I just feel like it's a missed opportunity for both of us, because we're dealing with two opposite emotions, mm-hmm. The anguish of the neshama, which is the lower level of tshuva, and the higher level, which is the joy that immediately accompanies the tefillah that comes as a result of being able to stand in front of Hashem and daven and say, look what I did. This is the great joy that I have of doing that. Hashem sees that joy. Believe me, it gives Hashem nachas. It gives him true simcha. And it is the thing that will bring us together and bring us the one truth of Geula Amitis Ashlema and Hera v'Yameinu Mamash.
Amen. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank Rabbi
David.
Dr.
Thank you very much for calling. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
And,
you're welcome.
Amen.
Do you not know what 1400 is? Private joke between me and David.
Again, Elizabeth, thank you. I'm going to get in touch with you, hopefully.
Thanks, Roger. Roger, thank you very much for calling.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're the best. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
before we go,
keep in touch. When we grow close to our Creator, we give of our time and our talent and our treasure.
Amen. Roger, would you like to make any statements before we close out the show, your feelings about today's program? And this is our fourth anniversary of SALT class. Any comments, questions, concerns, or what you think we can do to upgrade our efforts?
Well, I'm not sure if you want a chat room out there. I know that you don't put one up, but I know it can turn into a hassle if you don't have a mediator to watch over it. But I know on some of the shows they do have one. Maybe you might want to think about it, but
okay.
You really need to watch over it because you can get trolls in there. So that's another reason not to have it. But
Einstein received acclaim for demonstrating that energy and matter are one. And the scientist who demonstrates how all forces are one in a unified theory will receive even greater acclaim. So since we all agree that someone will eventually establish this, why not accept it now? We'll call it God.
David calling live in, David Weissman calling from Ashkenaz, I profusely thank you for your taking of your valuable time to call in from Ashkelon, which, by the way, I don't know if you've ever heard of a Rav David Kodesh. He's one of the great students of the Baba Sali. He lives on Rehov Benyamin. I think it's building number 22. He's a wonderful Rav. I met him. He learned in Lubavitch Yeshiva in Morocco at the time that the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe was Rebbe. And just to, I don't know how your Hebrew is yet, but just to let you know, David, that in the city of Ashkelon, the ancient city of Ashkelon, which is probably one of the oldest cities in the land, aside from Yerushalayim and Tzfas and Hebron and Shechem.
Megiddo.
Megiddo, right. That you can find such a wonderful person out there, Rav David Kodesh. David, any words you'd like to share with our blessed listening audience before we sign off?
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for the prayers for our country and people for us to be safe. So I thank you guys and thank you for the Americans that do support us. And I think thank you for having me on the air. It was an honor. I really appreciated it. Tell my side of what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thank
hopefully,
you, David. You're a great friend.
Thank you. Eliezer, hopefully I'll get in touch with you. Hopefully, after Tisha B'Av, hopefully it will be Tisha B'Av in the Holy Land with Mashiach. And if not, hopefully we can get together again in 2 weeks. Hopefully there will be an upgrade in the news. In the meantime, blessed souls, we're going to end off with an a cappella song, a strictly vocalized version of Psalms 121, Tehillim, Perek Chuf.
You mean Adhoko?
Yeah, Yosef Kaderner, Psalm 121, it goes like this. A song for sense, I shall raise my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? My help is from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to falter, your guardian will not slumber. Behold, the guardian of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your guardian, the Lord is your shadow. He is by your right hand. By day the sun will not smite you, nor the moon at night. The Lord will guard you from all evil, he will guard your soul. The Lord will guard you going out. You come in from now into eternity in a way, Bezer Hashem, and help the Most High. But darky nom darky shom, a peaceful, pleasant way. For all of us. Be continued, Bezer Hashem. He's break. Take care, everyone.
Boom.
Lo yakeka ve'yareach ba'ulai. Ha'shem ishmor tzecha uvoecha, me'ata ve'ad olam.